Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
You're muted, JD.
Rookie error. Hey, it's JD here, and I'll do this again. We're back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we've been counting down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I simply tabulated the results using my abacus and a stuffy-looking Huey Lewis with a megaphone, telling me my abacus is just too damn loud. How did your favorite song fare in the rankings? Well, today is the day to air your grievances and or celebrate 50 classic Pavement jams. We're also going to share some stories and experiences. And personally, I think we're going to do everything that we've mentioned here today because we've got a really cool group to do this. So first up, we've got Rachel from Portland joining us. How is it going, Rachel?
Going well, JD. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. And Jen from San Diego, how is it going?
Pretty good. Excited to be here.
I love it. Now, we are expecting another guest. Whether or not he makes it, we shall see. That's what I can give you in terms of an update about that. So you'll see throughout the top 50 list is scrolling from the bottom. We're going to share our top five lists today to see how they stack up. We are going to, talk about surprises and things that pissed us off. And the first thing we're going to do is, get as spicy as I suppose we can get where Pavement songs are concerned. And we'll start off with a round of hot takes. And we'll start with you, Jen. What is your hot take after 52 weeks of listening to me drivel on and listening to some really great guests talk about their experiences?
Well, I think it was an ingenious idea. At least I really enjoyed not only the countdown, but hearing other people's stories. So I thought that was really cool because we heard from people from all over the world telling us what Pavement meant to them. And some are old fans, some are new fans, some are, so that was pretty cool. And, when it comes to any kind of survey, it's about who got the call to send in a list. And I know I didn't see it until I was asked to be number 10 on this. So I don't know who sent it in. It was pretty Terror Twilight and Bright in the Corners heavy, which my top 50 never would be. So, and of course my number one song, I hope it's not a spoiler, but it would have been Perfume V, and that didn't even make it in the top 50, which I'm quite disappointed with. But otherwise it was a fun ride.
Shocking.
I know.
That's shocking that it didn't make the top 50.
Yeah, no, it's just
stupefying.
Who was sending in these lists, for goodness sake? Just kidding.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose there. Somebody did tell me along the way that I should have captured some demographic detail, but I didn't want to be invasive or anything like that.
I see.
Yeah, but I can tell you that As far as Terra Twilight's concerned, I think there was only two songs from Terra Twilight on the list. So I don't know that it was overrepresented. But you're right, Bright in the Corners. There's a
Major
lot of
League,
Bright in the Corners.
Near the Light, Spit on a Stranger.
The Hex. The Hex.
Oh, yeah. Four? Okay. Yeah, all right. So. All right. That's a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. But I mean, you know, I've always said that Terra Twilight was really the first Stephen Malcolmist solo record, and so I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's just not my favorite Pavement at all.
No, for sure. Yeah, I can get behind that. Rachel from Portland, how about you? Is there anything that jumped out at you right off the bat in terms of that you could phrase it as a hot take or not? That's cool too.
Well, to not just start by over agreeing with Jen, I agree that that Terra Twilight is overrepresented, with the exception of I love The Hex, and I found that in the past, like, that I go through these stages where The Hex gets stuck in my head a lot, and Terra Twilight is never the album that I like go to, but in the past couple days, like, the song I've been craving is The Hex, and I would just like put that on and then switch back to a different album. My friends have a tent company, and they have a tent that's hexagonal. It's this giant tent called The Hex. So when we camp near it and we talk about it all the time, the song gets like stuck in my head for days and days and days. So that's a really fun one. I also was super shocked that Perfume V wasn't on here. And I will say that I found out about this whole countdown after you had already used your abacus to compile all these. So my votes sure. never got in, and I would have had Perfume Beyond mine. So maybe we would have brought it up. And I'm so
tipped the scales.
Yeah, we would have tipped the scales a little. And I know JD, at some point you were planning on doing, and you said you might still at some point do the bottom 50, and I would love to hear that if you ever decide to do it. I think that would be really cool.
It's still in the cards.
Yeah.
I just got carried away in 2024. I took on a little bit more than I could handle, but Amplitude, and almost a Sabbath vibe on The Hex.
So good. Yeah. And so otherwise I would say some real like surprises for me. One of my favorites is Conduit for Sale, which also was not on here, though that didn't totally surprise me. And I have a few other like really obscure, like in my top 20s that I know that I would never expect to be on here, but that I love. And so maybe I'll share them in a little bit. But otherwise, there were certain ones that I just felt like the orders were just maybe a little, you know, things were over and underrated. I thought Cut Your Hair was definitely like rated two, should have been higher. But then again, when I get higher on the list, I'm like, well, what would I push off? There's only like maybe, there's probably only like four or five songs on this entire list that like, in my opinion, don't necessarily need to be in the top 50. And one of the things that I just love about this whole experience of going through these songs and listening to the way that they kind of tabulated out is that I love that people have different experiences of these songs than I do. And I also love that as you know, as we've gone through it this year, you know, none of these songs are new. And so the idea that by having this experience, they like become new again in a new way. And I love that, like, after, you know, with 30 years of listening to Pavement, that there's still this newness and like that happens when a song like Re comes into my awareness, and that it's still in this moment in my life, like engaging with me in such a profound way and such like a positive way in which I like see the world and interact with the world through these songs. And now from this podcast, through like these connections with other people, I love, you know, I said it in the episode I was in that I don't have a lot of friends who like Pavement. So none of my friends want to talk about them. Right. And I've just loved like hearing everybody's like nerdy take. Like I love like hearing, you know, what people say. I loved hearing everybody's origin stories. Like Jen, you had the most fascinating origin story of anybody. No, but it was like, it was so cool because like you were there in a way that, you know, I was like,
yes.
And I also loved about your story that, you know, so many of the places we were overlapped. Like I went to school in Ann Arbor and like I'm from Chicago and all of that.
Oh, you
yeah,
did?
But,
you know
but
that.
Like we didn't know each other. Like we never even met in Iceland. Like it would have been so cool. And now we're connected.
Right.
And I think that's so fabulous. And like now we hopefully we'll continue to like let these songs keep coming to life.
Yeah. Keep it alive.
Mm-hmm. I think the guys would be really, really pleased to know that, you know, they're making music that brings people together, you know, like ultimately, you know, they're not, you know, they're not the gushy type. I don't think really, but I think that's gotta be just a really rad thing to think about, you know?
Well, I think they get a kick out of the fact that like TikTok is blowing up with a B-side, yeah. And, you know, when they all did their own fit checks, that was pretty funny. But, you know, I mean, I think they're enjoying this and they definitely seem like compared to from 2010 to 2022, 2023, they were just having a lot more fun and just enjoying the accolades of what this was for them in the 90s. And so I really enjoyed those concerts a lot. So I think they're just in a good place in life. I hope we get another tour.
Great.
That'd be nice. It'd be really nice. Yeah, it would be. It was a lot of fun to just see them and, you know, get to know them a little bit. That was, you know, otherworldly for me. So,
good.
Yeah, really cool. Well, how do we do this? How do we play this? I've got my little cheat sheet here with all the, just incidentally, I popped open the complete list. And incidentally, Conduit for Sale was number 56. And Perfume V was number 60.
Oh, I thought you said it was 58 in my email, but okay.
I thought it was too, but I'm looking at it right here and it's, no, you're right. It's 58 and 54. Sorry. You're right. It's 54 and 58.
Well, you know who to bring on if you ever do the bottom 50 episodes for those songs.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of the ones where, they expanded my vocabulary. So, you know, like never hearing interlocutor or lackadaisical at the time. Like those are the kind of things where and this is before when you could only maybe ask Jeeves for help, like you had to like open a dictionary and look shit up to find out what it meant. And so I loved that, you know, helping me also expand my mind. I just saw an email that that Alvar says he's on now, maybe.
Oh. Not only do I not have an email, I don't have a...
Sorry, my work cut out late. I'm here now.
Interesting. Alvar, we don't see you. Because I would have him in... I would have him in the green room.
Yeah. And I don't know if that email if the email he's replying to had the link in it, so it might help to.
Oh, let me send that to him.
Yeah, just in case. Make sure
you know under one of the underqualified to the bitter end, folks. Mm-hmm. Here I am. Let me track down that link. There it is.
Technology, gotta love it, and you gotta hate. I mean, it's just it's helpful and it's also confounding.
Damn straight.
You know, like my earliest, not my earliest days of Pavement, but like, you know, looking for community online goes back to like 1994 in BBSs out of Iowa, and then eventually message boards and email lists and things like that, trying to create a community of fans. But for the most part, for the first 10 shows, well, at least 2 through 10, I had my partner in crime, Jess Detroit. They call this Jen and Jess Detroit. And, and you know, after that, that's when I started reaching out to other, like what we call pave listers, the people who are on the email list to like meet. And so I have some friends from that. And there were a couple of those guys there, a couple people who were on that original email list in Iceland and stuff like that. So I've met them a few times now. Through my travels, whether it was, I met some of them at Matador 21 in 2010, because a lot of people came out for that. And then again in Iceland, like weird places. that I got to meet people in person.
Fantastic, though, right? Mm-hmm. That you have these relationships and then you get to execute on them, you know?
Like, yeah. Like,
oh, here's this person in real life now.
Yeah.
That's, and yeah, it's tremendous.
And, you know, we always have fun. You know, if you start with a baseline of we've got this in common, you know, you're going to have fun hanging out with those folks.
Yeah. You've always got something to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at your personal top five. But before we do that, we're going to add Alvar to the stage. There he is.
Hey, Alvar,
how's it going, my friend?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry.
Oh, what time is it in Iceland?
It's like 10 minutes to 1 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Well, thanks for joining us.
No, it's just like I have a job at like a bar and like I was trying to scramble and, you know, sorry I was late. Sorry I was late, you guys.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, no worries.
We're on and we're just getting ready to talk about our personal top fives. But before we do that, if you wanted to, if you had a hot take off the top, I'm just curious if you had a hot take about the list in general.
With the list in general, like the top 50?
Yeah.
A lot of hot takes, definitely, you know, yeah, for sure.
Which number one?
You want to share one?
I mean, Blue Hawaiian. I don't know what that's going on. I don't know why that's there.
What? Huzzah! Yeah,
that's like there,
There's a couple songs that I consider "Time for a Bathroom Break" and Blue Hawaiian's one, and "Type Slowly" is one, and it's funny like because
slowly. Especially, you know, what they've done with "Type Slowly" on the most recent tour. I love it now.
How much Rebecca likes playing it. Like, it makes me hear it differently, but, you know, for the most part, I'm like, this is a great time to go check out the merch table and take a pee break. So.
Yeah. It feels kind of uninspired a little bit, you know, compared to Pavement, you know, like,
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's number 50, but when you look, what we were just talking about is Conduit for Sale and Perfume V are lower than Blue Hawaiian. Like, what's the fucking deal with that?
Fucking Perfume V was my favorite song for years. It used to be my ringtone. And people hated me because, like, they could only hear, like, this static, you know. So, you know.
Well, let's show off our top fives, and we'll start with Jen, because she's already given part of hers away. She gave away her number one, and well before we do that, we'll go and we'll take a look at the actual top five.
Okay.
The list top five. Shouldn't call it the actual top five. So this is how it wound up. It wound up Summer Babe, Silence Kid, Gold Sounds, Grounded, and Frontwards. I think going into the top 50, there's a good chunk of these songs that you would have probably had in your top 10. Like, I don't think that's a big jump to make. What do you guys think of that? Like, this is, I don't want to say it's inassailable, but these are fucking great songs.
These are great songs. So like, Frontwards and Gold Sounds are in my top five. Grounded is not, but it absolutely deserves to be at number two. Like, it's an amazing song, and I understand why so many Pavement songs fans love it. I love it too. It's just not in my top five or 10.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a solid top five compared to, you know, what came before. I don't know that I wouldn't have put Silence Kit or Gold Sounds in my top five, but I love those songs too. So, I mean, they needed to be on this, and they're definitely, I think, in top 10. So.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Well, let's take a look at yours. And, very different than the group list. other than Grounded, and Grounded lands at number 2 on your list as well. That's far out. Again, you've got representation here from Slanted, you've got representation from Watery, and then, oh, I didn't put the second parenthesis. God damn it, I hate when I do stuff like that.
Okay. You didn't put what? Sorry, what didn't you put?
I didn't put the other brackets
around Easily Fooled. I mean, they're different lyrics. He definitely goes off on a tangent in this Clattering song and on the Peel session, but that's where that one started, and then it became Easily Fooled as a B-side with some different lyrics where they don't have to be like ignore him, like Bob says at the end of that session where he's just going off about the currency and stuff in the Peel session. And, you know, circa 1762 is another Peel session song, but there is so fond in my heart of driving to shows, doing call and response and taking turns of singing together and stuff like that. So that song always can take me right back to a car ride on a way to a pavement show in the early 90s. So, and of all the Watery songs, I think Texas Never Whispers is the best one, but.
We're going to have some debating because Rachel has already shared a couple of hers. So I'm going to show you, Rachel's list now.
Okay.
And, I'll pull it up right now. And you can see that she has chosen two different songs from Watery, but as her number one, Shoot the Singer. So, sorry, I'm all over the place here, guys. Sorry. any comments or thoughts on this list?
I could choose Shoot the Singer on a good day, definitely, as the ultimate best pavement song, you know, definitely. I'm sorry, guys, I have a little bit of a cold, so my voice is raspy. So, but yeah, I could definitely choose Shoot the Singer as the best ever pavement song on a good day. So I definitely
agree. I don't have a problem with any of these, you know.
Yeah. Shoot the Singer,
I think they're all solid.
It was the first beyond like the original like first kind of songs that I heard of pavement, like Cut Your Hair and Trigger Cut. Like beyond that, when I started like going deeper, Shoot the Singer was the first of their songs that connected with me in a way where I was like, this is my favorite of the songs, you know, like, and it's kind of like lasted. And one something that I just love about, I recently saw Louder Than You Think in the theater. And there's this one scene where they're showing, it's just like a paper that has some, I guess like a set list or like a list of tracks that they're going to play. But instead of Shoot the Singer, it just says In These Pants. And it made me so happy when I saw it. I was just like, that Shoot the Singer.
Wait, when was that?
It was in the, Louder Than You Think movie, the movie about Gary Young that just came out.
Really? So they changed the name, or like,
I don't know if they changed the name or if that's just how they wrote it. I know that a lot of times, I don't know about Pavement specifically, but I know bands will like abbreviate or they'll like call something. They may have changed the name.
And it might have been on a set list before they actually put Watery out, such that it didn't have a name yet. I mean, we called Grounded the sedan song because that was the one word that was super weird to hear in a song that you knew, and we called 18 whenever, and we called, you know, Kennel District, Why Didn't I Ask, because these are the things that we could hear. And, you know, Elevate Me Later was always LS2 on the set list back then, just as abbreviation. So I think it was just, you know, that was what they were calling it in these pants before they decided to Shoot the Singer.
Right. Yeah. And I will say, I had a really hard time narrowing it down to 5. Like when I originally tried to create a top 20, there was like 16 that were definitely in it. And then probably like 14 more that were fighting for those last few spots. So that Gold Sounds, you know, made it in here, but there were, it was fighting with a lot of other songs, and Conduit for Sale made it in, but it was fighting with a lot of songs too.
What?
Interesting mention on our chat, on the chat that's going on in YouTube, somebody mentioned, it's Tim from Portland again. Tim from Portland says, Frontwards is great, yet the energy of it doesn't feel, celebratory enough for number one, in my humble opinion. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think that it's celebratory enough? Does it need to be celebratory? Is that a criteria? What were your criteria, God damn it, for forming your lists?
Mine's about how they make me feel or where they take me back to. I mean, I'm not listening. I've never been one for, you know, what. I mean, the sound is important, but honestly, it's if it hit me in the feels and it can take me to a place, that kind of is how I inform my top five.
That's great.
For me, it's also about the feel, for sure. And Jen, I wanted to tell you that that I had an experience when I maybe like a year and a half ago or something, where I had a lot going on, and I was listening to Perfume V, and I like burst into tears in my car, and I had all of this emotion coming up, and it took me like a while to be able to like listen to Perfume V again and not like have all of my like childhood crap come up.
Oh man!
But that, man, that's, you know, sometimes it's better. You know, it says a lot.
Yeah, it's better. It's better out than in, honestly. Like,
for sure.
And you just don't know when it's going to happen. And this is unpavement related, but my mom passed away in 2022 from complications of ALS, and I was driving, and there was a story on NPR about coal miners or something, and they played Take Me Home by Bob, or no, they played, which is the one where, anyway, it got to the part of Bob Denver singing Mountain Mama. And I'm singing along because I know the words, but like, as soon as I have to say Mountain Mama, like I'm driving and I'm just sobbing, but I'm also laughing because I'm like, how dumb is this? You know, we grew up in Alaska in the mountains. And so saying Mountain Mama, just like, it just, and I mean, I'm laughing at myself, but I'm thinking people are thinking I'm fucking nuts because I'm like bawling in my driver's seat. So I know how it doesn't even mean that like the song necessarily had that impact before, but at that moment it can take you there and shit just comes out. And I just think better out than in.
I fully agree with that. I definitely, yeah. I think it was the second night in Iceland where they encored with Stop Breathing, and I burst into tears in the middle of the show. I was like, what?
I got set lists every night there, but I don't think they're at this house, but I'm not sure. But yeah, that can do it. In Toronto in 99, they dedicated Stop Breathing to me, and I kind of took it personally. Like, you know, Bob said like, oh, Jen Echo's here in the audience. And then like they started playing something else, and Malcolmus went in to Stop Breathing. And I was like, oh, Jesus, like, what the fuck? I was like, okay, I'm singing along.
A shout out from Bob is pretty special. I always feel, whenever I see them, I always Bob is looking right at me. I'm sure he's not. But I'm always like, he must be looking right at me.
Yeah, he probably is. You know, he really is a nice guy, and he gets right up in your face. It's nice. You know, he's really friendly.
Like, did all of you guys see Pavement like post 2000, back in the days, or
you mean pre 2000?
Yeah.
You mean before 2000?
I mean pre 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Did all of you see them?
My first show was I was 19 years old in 1992 when I saw them the first time.
Holy shit, fuck.
And I got 20 shows between, I got 20 shows between 1992, and I caught the last show in the US in 1999. That was my 20th show, because my 19th show was in Chicago on October 15th, 1999. And I was backstage, and I was like, I just need one more show and I'll have 20. And they said, well, you better make it to Cincy tomorrow night, because if you don't, you might not get 20. And I was like, oh shit. So it was, I think I told that story on my number 10, but yeah.
You have to listen to that episode already. Yeah. Very good.
We did, and I wish we had known each other then. 20... You could have picked me up in Ann Arbor. And I could have gone right there.
Well, it's funny because a girl from Ann Arbor took the train. Katie Linden, Wonder Llama, took the train up and met me there. And she was underage, but she had a credit card, which is how we got a hotel in Cincinnati. But we had to take the train from Chicago back to Ann Arbor to borrow my parents' car. To drive then to Cincinnati.
I loved when you told that story. That your whole origin story was probably my favorite of everybody's origin story on the entire countdown.
Yeah. It was definitely long. And he even pared it down to 45 minutes. There's probably outtakes and stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to hear more. I was like,
and I didn't even get
she needs to say some more.
I didn't even get to the 2010s or Iceland. I only got through the 90s. So yeah, I saw 20 shows in between 92 and 99. And we all, LR, she's, both she's Rachel no and I were, what's that?
OG.
Yeah, but both Rachel and I were at the Iceland shows.
Right. Did
that's pretty cool.
Did you also, Rachel, did you see them back in the 90s?
I didn't. I listened to them in the 90s. I first heard them in the mid 90s. It was probably 94 or so when I first started listening to them. But I didn't see them until 2010 when they went on their first reunion tour. And it was one of the best, it was one of the best shows I'd ever seen. I'm so glad that I had the instinct to go because it was sold out and I didn't have tickets. And I was just like, I got to get to the show. And I bought tickets off some weirdo on Craigslist. I was like, I'm going. And I've never seen a Pavement show and not left thinking or feeling like I need more Pavement now. And that's part of why I went to Iceland was because after the 2022 show outside of Portland, I was like, I need more. And I looked I looked at their whole schedule and they were like going to Australia. And I was just like, I can't do that. And then when they announced Iceland, I was like, I'm free those days.
Oh man.
Well, and what I loved about Iceland is
so badly.
What I loved about the Iceland show is first row wasn't any more expensive than the back. And so I didn't realize we could pick seats at first. And I was like, there's still seats in the front row. So then I had to call and be like, I want to switch my seats. So we got front row Scott side for Iceland. It was nice.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all the same price. And I think what they call, I don't know, that's first 15 rows.
Yeah, there were sections,
And then maybe they were so if you were in that first 15, it didn't matter if you had, here now they have what they call dynamic pricing. So front row is going to be insanely expensive versus, and it didn't used to be that way.
Yeah.
So I like that in Iceland, it's still affordable, it seemed.
I probably asked you, JD, you saw them back in the 90s, right?
No.
You didn't?
No. Oh, okay. No. That's how this project really came to be. It was my 10-year anniversary. And it was the 30th anniversary of Demolition Plot. And so, no, Slate Tracks, sorry. So, yeah, the first episode of Meeting Malcolmus dropped the day of the 30th anniversary of Slate Tracks. And then 10 years later, I did this top 50 list. So, here we are. Yeah, not 10 years later, but however much. I'm a little high right now. I'm not going to lie to you. Let's take a look at Alvar's top five. Okay. It's been up for a little while. Okay,
before we do that, I must say that, that I really, I could envy you guys, like you, Jen, seeing them. But I feel I feel, I don't know what you call it. I'm happy for you that you got to see them. All of those times, man, throughout the years, that must have been something. God damn. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I say that, it's been a hard life, but it's been a charmed life. So I was lucky to be 21 in 94 and 19 in 92 and it was an 18 and over show. And of course, I don't feel that lucky to be almost 52 years old now, but you know, that was the right age at the right time.
Yeah, it has its perks. Yeah. But yeah.
Pavement's keeping me young, Jen.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's funny because like I feel like, you know, like especially in 2010 when I was like, I caught most of the California shows and I went up to Stockton and stuff. And at work, so in 2010, I was not 40 yet. So I was like 37 years old. And everybody at work was just like, because I was unmarried and traveling to see bands, they thought I was a lot younger than I was. Like, it was just, it was so funny. Like how I'm like, no, I'm a spinster at this point. I still live in like I'm 25 years old, but I'm old.
This is still me, Jen.
Point, and now I'm super old.
Still me.
It was funny because I was just like, how old do you think I am? Yeah. Well, now I got, my husband is like, he's a few years older than me, but he's a Rush fan. No, just kidding. But you know, his very first Pavement show was at the Fonda in 2022. And I made him a shirt that said my first Pavement show and he wore it.
Nice.
That's pretty funny. Great. But now he's seen Pavement a lot of times because we caught like 10, I think at that, because I had 30. LA's second night was my 30th show and I got a good dedication there. I think he's been to like 10 or by at this point, because there was three nights in Iceland and three nights in Austin. So he's been to a lot of Pavement shows all of a sudden. So he's a good sport. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, where do we want to go from here, folks?
We haven't talked about Alvar's top five.
Yeah, Loretta Scars, number one. Alvar, where did it? Loretta Scars was in the 40s, I believe, right?
Let's see.
I think it made the 50.
It's around 40. It looks, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he back or is he frozen?
Are you with us?
It's so late there.
I think he might be frozen.
I like Loretta Scars, but I definitely think, Perfume V deserves to be on the countdown more than Loretta Scars, but it's a good song.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I can agree with that.
I, you know, my friend Jess got Blackout to do, I think that was number 20. And I was like, how is that on the list?
Really? I love Blackout.
So it's not my favorite. I mean, I like Blackout. I just wouldn't, you know, it's just not one of those ones I'd put that high on the list, but here it is on the number 3. So, but yeah, just got to do, my partner in crime got to do Blackout. I had Elevate Me Later, number 10. Which number were you?
I got to do 14, AT&T, which was cool because like I like AT&T, you know, it wasn't on my top 20, but getting to, you know, the same thing I was saying before about getting like these songs having new life brought to them. Like it was so fun to like really go deep into like, you know, what the song meant to me and kind of like how dissecting it kind of like played into the whole like way that Pavement is still really relevant in my life. That was very, very cool.
Yeah, no, I remember that now. I'll have to go back and listen to your episode, but you know, that I you know, that was another one where if you're not from New York, you're like, who's Jacob Dylan? It's his glass house.
I'm not from New York, but I'm
right?
Just a convention center, you know. Yeah. And so
Pete from Malaga told me, I remember early on he wrote me a letter about that when we did that song. Yeah. This is what that is.
Yeah, I mean it's the convention center, right? And then when I was in my 30s, I moved to Chicago and early 30s, right when I turned 30, I think, or before I turned 30, we had, I had to go to the convention at the Jacob Javits Center. And I just, you know, I just thought that was so, I mean, it's like, it's just a stupid convention center, but I was just like, oh my God, I only know this because of that.
But there's something that's so interesting about the way that these lyrics come in. So like, I'm currently, for the first time, I'm reading Gone with the Wind, which I've never read before. And it gives the whole, like, and then marching to Georgia. Like, it's got this whole different, right now that I'm like, I can hear it in my head when they're like, Sherman's coming. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's fun when you can, you know, and you know, it was a different, we were all like in a different stage in our lives back then, you know, in the 90s, and you know what we could imagine it meant then versus, you know, and they're not, you know, what's funny to me is in my mind's eye when I was in those early 90s and I was like 19 seeing them, I thought they were so much older than me, and they're not. We like 5 years, but I just really thought they were a lot older than me. So I've always just thought of them as like big brothers. But
great.
But they're not that much older is what I'm realizing. But yeah, in my mind, well, and you know, my parents were young and like my uncle was only about that much older than me. So like that just seemed a lot older than me. But you know, it's age is a funny thing, but you definitely think. I feel like, you know, before the internet, because they largely, those first couple records were pretty much before there was much of internet for the average folks. Like, their songs really made you, like, try to understand what they were about, you know, and, like, look up words and stuff, so.
You figure your whole life, you're put into, you know, three separate spaces if you go to post-secondary school, but elementary school, you know, you've got this 4 or 5 year gap where there's people young and people old, and you know, like, oh my gosh, you're either young or old, and there's a 5 year difference. Then you go to high school, and there's a 4 year difference. Then if you go to post-secondary, there's a 3 or 4 year difference. And then you go out into the real world, and it's like, holy fuck, no matter where you go, there's a wide swath of different ages. And suddenly your cohort becomes like,
until you're like hitting that middle secondary or high school, I don't know what you call it. Like, I don't like as an elementary kid, I didn't, besides my brother being a grade ahead of me, I really didn't know kids or spend time with kids that were on either side of me. It was pretty much just my, you know what I mean? And, but
your
then
cohort when you get into
like middle school, you know, you start meeting, you know, the couple years older than you and stuff like that. But yeah, I've always, and you know, within 3 years on either side of me is all I really ever seem to relate to, unless when they get much older, I feel like they're wiser than me, or that they're like old, which is dumb because now I'm super old. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull it back to the list for a moment here, and okay. Talk to you about a specific song. Yeah, want to talk to you about a specific song, and that song is the number 11 song, "Trigger Cut."
I love "Trigger
Cut." Wounded Kite at 17 seconds. I do too. To me, that's it. It's a top 10 song. I know I'm quibbling here because it's like it's number 11. But to me, it's a slam dunk top 10 song.
I agree. It's definitely in my top 10 for sure. It's one of my like real favorites. It actually like was vying with Gold Sounds for that number 5 on my list. But there's something about it. I want to sing all the parts of it. Like when I, you know, when I sing it, I want to sing the, like, you know, the call and the response every time I hear it.
I particularly like, you know, I think that the Slanted and Enchanted is my husband's kind of, I don't know, I'm maybe reading too much into it, but I feel like it's his least favorite because it's like the most noisy and not the most melodic.
Okay.
But my favorite part is when I point out that this is now the Wounded Kite with the last 17 seconds part, you know, because you know, the last 17 seconds doesn't sound like the rest of the song, and it's just kind of like noise or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is the Wounded Kite part, you know, and every single time, because it seems like it comes up on our random playlist a lot. Most of S&E would probably be in my top 10, but Yeah, I would take stereo. I would switch that with stereo easily. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a world. There is a world that exists where Trigger Cut without the 17 seconds, which I think is longer than 17 seconds actually.
Right.
But without
it's like 17. Kite, it's about the, like yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Without the ending, there is a world where that was released as a single, and yeah. And it exploded. You know, because it's a great fucking song. It's poppy in a different way that Stereo mm-hmm. is, you know?
You know, I think, you know, so that was the first single that came out after S&E came out. Like, there he is again. Hi, LR. Like, Summer Babe came out before the record came out.
Right.
And then Trigger Cut came out after the record came out. And so I would say that Trigger Cut made them explode any more than like Summer Babe did, and just the fact that they finally had a whole record out, it was just a time where they're really starting to take off in general.
I guess I mean in the more traditional sense, like yes, it was a single it was a 7-inch, but it wasn't a single in the traditional sense because it was an indie record and it was truly indie. It didn't have a video on MTV.
Oh yeah.
It didn't have, you know, airplay on, you know, radio stations that were playing alternative music. It got college play, but you know, not
technically. I think that one was on Matador. That was the first one that was on Matador. Cause I think that even Summer Babe was still on Drag City, but I could be wrong. And the one thing that I was bummed about on this one was I was hoping that there was going to be an engraving on it. I don't think there is.
Like Summer there is Babe something. is on
Drag City.
It's on the one because it's on Westing as well.
Right. Well, I can pull it out to be double sure.
Drag yeah. City.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was like the last thing that was on Drag City, but Trigger Cut was the first that Matador got to put out.
I could,
but still it's a great song. And I love, well, you know, you know, the B-side with So Stark mm-hmm. is like the first you kind of hear, like, I can't live beside the spiral staircase when the money's coming in.
I was just listening to that song today. And it's like, that lyric just kills me every time I hear it.
That was recorded in April of 92 for frick's sake. And already there was tension, right? So.
Yeesh.
I could never really discern.
I could never really discern
between the, you know, the album track of Summer Babe and the single. What was the?
I don't know if there's a recording difference. I don't hear it. Even though it says winter version. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's just the mix is different on Slanted, and that's the
winter version. Okay. I've had a hard time kind of discerning.
But they were both recorded in the winter. They were both recorded in, you know, early January of 1989. So no, I'm thinking of Slide Tracks now. Jesus. No,
but a lot of people say
who let me drive this bus?
A lot of people say that the Lux and Redux version of Slanted sounds way shittier than the original, you know, mastered version on the CD and the LP. Have you guys ever heard that distinction?
I don't know. I've never heard that.
You guys have never heard that?
But are you saying, is it like, are you talking about like, is it like one of the extra tracks on the Redux?
No, I'm talking
like
about
some other.
No, the remastering of
the original 14 songs that they sound much worse, like the studio job was kind of botched in some kind of a way. Mm. So it sounds kind of shittier. Yeah.
Mm.
Urban legend.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. So
yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry I fell out. What did you guys think about my top five? I want to hear that, if you don't mind.
Oh man, we just shit talked you.
Yeah, we were like, what the fuck?
Just talking trash. You know, we were like,
I was the only thing I said was that I wouldn't have put Blackout in the top five, but that was it. Otherwise, I couldn't argue with they're all good songs, and even Blackout is a great song. I just wouldn't have it that
bad. I remember Loretta.
Where would you have it? Where would you have it inside your top 20?
Probably not.
Wow,
it's not even a song I think about.
Okay,
it's so interesting.
It's definitely in my top 20.
Okay. Like,
yeah, me too.
Like when Jen told me that's what she had, I was like, "I got what song is that even?" And then I had to go back and listen. I'm like, I know all the words and stuff, but it's just kind of like, yeah. So I was like, "Do you have a lot to say about
this,
it?"
This is what I love anyway. Talking about, like Pavement with other Pavement heads who like love Pavement, because I can hear this like complete magic in the way he kind of, you know, kind of nonchalantly, like, you know, kind of spurts the lyrics out and it seems like he doesn't care. And I don't know, there's something about it that, like, this loser rock, you know what I mean? It's like loser rock 101, you know, if you guys know what I mean by that connotation.
Well, and we were saying, like, you know, it's all about how it makes you feel, and it, there's no right or wrong
that,
answer.
That's what I love about it. Yeah. That's what I love about talking to you guys. You know, yeah, for sure, definitely. Like, I saw Unfair there, like, kind of high up on the list, and like, I always hated that song, you know.
That's so much fun, that's like a road trip song. You know, like it's just
I skip that song, you know, every time, like, you know, so
damn.
Yeah,
hot take.
Yeah, that is a hot take.
I mean, when they came back and played Jimmy Fallon, I think they played that song out of all of the songs they could have played wherever they When they reunited in 2010, I think they did Unfair at like a late night show. Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, I think that's usually when Bob like gets to shine. He gets to like move around and sing, and it's always like they always just bring the energy when they play it live, I think. So, you know, it's a silly song, and yet I feel like it's it's always got really good energy, at least when they play it live. So like, I can live with it being high, but I can also, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
It belongs in the 50 unequivocally. We can all agree on
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yes.
Alvar, can you agree on that?
Does it belong in the 50? No, I don't think so. I was trying to find the top 50 list. Did you send us the top 50 list, right? Yeah. Yeah. You sent us the top 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it?
What about the top 100? Like, could you possibly email that to me really quick? Is that a possibility at this?
I don't have it handy right now.
He didn't release the top 100, but he did say that Perfect B was 58, and which one was 54?
Conduit for Sale.
He told us that, but he hasn't.
Yeah, if you have any specific songs, I'll look them up, but I don't have it like prepared. So
because he might do a bottom 50.
I remember seeing songs.
Thank you for seeing. Through my thin veil.
I remember the first time I was on the podcast, I kept like going back to the top 100s and like, because there were so many songs that I loved that I was just like flabbergasted, you know. But, you know, yeah. I thought that was really funny.
Well, the you know, that's one way to look at it. But another way to look at it is this list does seem skewed, you know, to... It's tough to say because Like, I agree with Jen that it's skewed newer, but then you look at the top 10, and other than Stereo, there's nothing new under the sun there, right? Like, it's all Crooked Rain.
Yeah, but, you know, also Planted. Of the top 10, 4 are singles, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that seems like... Right. Well, the Stereo, Range Life, Summer Babe, yep. and Gold Sounds, you know. Right. And so it just seems like the super low-hanging fruit. Like, I don't think Stereo belongs. But honestly...
No, I agree with you.
You know, like, later in life, like, in the 40, when I turned 40 and I was single, I did a blog of 15 online dates. And for the most part, if anybody recognized Pavement, it was like, oh, like Stereo? And I'd be like, I guess, you know? Because at a certain age, you know, dudes of a certain age, that's probably the first freaking song they heard, which is, you know, at least they've heard of them, right? So.
Tim says, Elvar, come to the USA and drive across California and crank it, which is unfair. I'll even drive and change your mind.
Right. We're going to get you to like unfair.
I've been trying to get a tourist visa, and it's been very hard, actually. It's been fucked up.
Oh, really?
But let's not go there. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard getting into your country. And I'm like, I have a job and like I'm Icelandic. It's like, you know.
They just let us into yours. We didn't even need a visa.
But let me say this. I remember I was shocked in the first podcast. I think Loretta Scars was like top 50 or something. And I think...
It's in the top 50.
It's like 34 or whatever. Do you remember?
It's like 43-ish.
It's on this list too at about 43. There, yeah.
43.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Oh, no, maybe I'm wrong. No, I'm sorry. It's like 34. You're right.
I was 34. So shocked. And that also tells us, like, we love this band so much, but we love different. Like, Loretta Scars is the, like, the single most, like, epic song in the history of the world to me. In some weird way. And I don't even know what it is. It's just like... It resonates so hard, you know. I don't know. That's what I love about Pavement. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely think it's top 20, if not top 10. I love that song too. But, you know, it's just how other, you know, it's just what are people, I mean, there's what you weren't here for, was I saying there's just entirely too much Terror Twilight and Bright in the Corners on this top 50 for me.
Right.
But I don't hate any of them, you know, I don't think there's a Pavement song I hate or anything like that, but I just, there's ones I don't really play very often.
Yeah.
And ones I take after and bring it out.
I love Bright in the Corner. Yeah. Oh, I'm so good. Go ahead, Omar.
Is it maybe the sound? Because like Slanted had this really specific sound, and then Wowie Sowie was like, really high on weed and really like, you know, and then Bright in the Corners was kind of a little darker, and then Terror Twilight like a lot darker. I don't know, what do you guys think about that, like just like sound wise, production wise?
I don't think of Brighton as dark.
No, I think it's like their most like commercially rocking record. Like,
okay, that seemed dark. That's a good point, though.
And then Terror Twilight just is like a lot of jams. You know, like it's a lot more jammy. But for me, I feel like, and I think about this a lot. I think a lot of it's. How it made me feel at the time. Like it hasn't changed, you know, like I was telling JD in my interview, like, you know, Cut Your Hair changed everything. Like there was a whole new contingent of people showing up at shows compared to, you know, before, but also just between 92 and 94, they blew up. Right. And then for sure when like Stereo and Shady Lane hit, it was even more a different contingent. And
right.
So just the whole feel and the vibe of what was going on at the time, it just kind of colored how I felt about, you know, those songs and that compared to how I felt when waiting for Slanted Enchanted to come out and being so excited for Crooked Rain to come out and Wowie Zowie was, I loved all the songs, you know, when they were playing AT&T and Kennel District and stuff at the second leg of Crooked Rain tour. Like, I was super excited about that record, and Grounded was being played, and you're like, where, you know, what are we in store for? And it's funny because a lot of people who, it seemed like a lot of the people who were being interviewed really didn't like Wowie Zowie or didn't understand it or thought it was completely not tracked well or anything. And they thought a lot about how they were going to track it. But there was one guy late here, and maybe it was Amir that was like, or somebody was super into Wow. Like, they were finally like a champion for Wowie Zowie. And I'm like, I don't know why everybody's slogging this record, because it's a great three-sided record, you know, like, you know, so, but most people who got interviewed didn't love Wowie Zowie. And I was just like, it's not a throwaway record for me at all.
Like, yeah.
Like,
there's no throwaway record, though. There's none. There's five records, and you know, like, I would die on a lot of those hills.
It definitely took me a minute to get into Wowie Zowie. Like, I love it, and now I'm like very, very into it. But when I remember the first time or two I listened to it, and kind of having to like turn it off and being like, this isn't what I like, the Pavement I know and remember, and then like it grew on me. But I do remember having that reaction, like at the first like time or two that I heard it, being like, you will like this. It's just going to take a minute. And as far as.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it's a matter of like, there's been records where I'm just like, and then I see it live and then I'm like, oh wow, now I get it. You know, like, yeah. Like, I remember being excited about the second Nutrimoke Hotel record coming out and like going to the record store up the street. And asking the guy, like, have you heard it? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, what? And he was like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff about Jesus Christ on here. And like the second song is like, I love you, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, what the flip? Like, what is going on? But then they played a show and I was like, I wanted to like run away to the mountains and live with everybody there, because we had just experienced something like religious, and only us 200 people at that in a room like, experienced it. And like it was just such a different experience, like hearing it live. But you know, that guy colored it for me, like, oh, it's all about Jesus Christ. Wait, anyway, like,
Nutrimilk Hotel. We were talking about Nutrimilk Hotel. Yeah.
I was right, saying that, yeah. Second record was. I mean, they only have two, but you know, that second record, it was the guy.
That's on my top 25 list. That record is top 25.
I saw them in 1998 in Denver, and that's when he had moved away from Denver, but that's where those records were recorded. And
right.
That's one of my, probably one of my favorite shows ever to have seen, was to be in that audience in 1998. I feel really lucky. I actually moved, like, I was living in Boulder and I didn't have a car, and I would have to like beg and borrow and buy two tickets to like get people to take me to Denver to see shows and stuff. And I saw in Westward that Nutrimilk Hotel was playing the 15th Street Tavern. I'm like, I gotta fucking move within biking distance, you know? So I left Boulder and I moved to Capitol Hill and I rode my bike to that show, because I was like, I'm not gonna miss this. I'm not gonna like, because I'm not gonna convince anybody to take me, right? So I literally moved like further from work. I had to commute to Boulder every day just so that I would be within bicycling distance of the 15th Street Tavern that night, so that I could make sure I got to see Nutrimilk Hotel in 1998. That's like how bonkers I was about about that, yeah. About seeing them. But yeah, that, but the record came out sometime between me moving there and moving to like, it hadn't been out yet. And yeah, I probably had only played it like twice before the show. And I'm like, what's going on? Why are they singing about, is it religious all of a sudden? Did I not catch this up the first one? And But no, it made sense once I saw it live. And so I feel like that's Wowie Zowie too. It makes a big difference to hear Grounded live. Like, it gives you goosebumps to hear it live. And I can see how coming to it cold or it might not have like hit as fast, but I was hearing a lot of those songs before it ever came out because they were playing them in 94.
I think I kind of made a point in the last podcast that they kind of invented a genre with songs like Blackout, Motion, Suggest Itself, and Grounded, and Father of a Sister of a Thought, for example, where they have these kind of, I don't know, like these kind of country-ish, pop, very dreary, you know, beautiful, but like kind of depressed, which I think, I don't know if any band has done something like this that well, you know, in my opinion, at least, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's special about Wowie Zowie for me, you know, definitely.
Amplitude says, Pedal Steel on Father to a Sister was a shock at the time.
Who said that?
In the chat, you can click on comments in the upper right hand corner of your thing, and you can see the chat.
Oh, look at that! I didn't realize so many people.
And also, I can put them on the screen.
Look at that! Agree, Jen. What did you agree with? I didn't know about all that.
If I don't know if you guys can see that, but I can.
Oh my God!
Well, now I can see it. Now that you told us that.
Yeah. Yay!
Cool.
Well, is there anything else anybody wants to say about the list before we wrap this sucker up?
Well, I want to say thank you for dreaming it up and conducting these interviews. I don't think I've ever shared my story quite like I did for this, and it was fun to do. And I enjoy hearing other people's experiences, and, you know, we can, you know, fight all day about... Yeah. Where the song should be, but honestly, that there's this much love for this catalog is pretty cool, and
that's what I think too. The list is just the hook to hang our coat on, and our coat is the conversation and the camaraderie that we have formed and the community that we formed around this band, right? So,
yeah, I don't know. I think I might be slightly on the spectrum, so I can get like I can see songs like. Box Elder and Finn. We talked about Finn the other day, but I'm like, just like, no way, man, no freaking way. And give it a day, like, what the hell? And film and
you don't like those songs. You don't like Box Elder or Give It a Day.
I'm not saying that I don't like them, but there are songs like. So many other songs, like you know, what's the Spiral song called? Like, you know, you gotta be strong. There's no other way.
Facade Dream. It's my favorite. It's yeah. my favorite. I was gonna call it out.
Right.
It's in my top 20.
Oh, that's awesome to hear, because that song does something to me, like emotionally. So I can get really like I can get really I won't say emotional, but I can. Have very, very, you know, decisive, you know, takes on which songs should be there and which songs shouldn't be there, because obviously there's so many good songs, but yeah, you know, and AT&T, like I've never understood that song.
That's what she oh,
we only got through half of my dissertation in my episode. So if you want to hear the rest of the dissertation, I'm happy to share it with you at any point.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Blue Hawaiian, like I said, Best Friend's Arm. That's just a throwaway. And I feel that.
Well, in like Greenlander, it was just like, it's, you know, it. I wouldn't. I mean, I like it, but I just wouldn't have put it on this top 50, especially if Perfume B and Conduit are on.
I yeah, it's strange, but I'll tell you How big do you think their catalog is in total? Like, would it be 100 and I should know this because I did the fucking thing, like, but I didn't know all the B-sides. So, like, would it be 140, 150 songs?
Well, I guess I don't know. I mean, didn't they say they like learned, I'm like, 85 or something for this tour? Like, 85 of them? And
yeah, something in that ballpark, right?
And I'm so bummed. Like, I'm so bummed I didn't get to that last New York show because
yes,
they finally pulled out Easily Fooled. Like, that's when they asked me in my 30th show what I wanted to hear, I was like, Easily Fooled. And like, they talked about it and then they just went into Debris Line, I think. And because I don't think they had practiced it. And I'm like, oh, and then they pulled it out that last show and I wasn't there for it. So,
I was pretty bummed to miss all of those.
But yeah,
and Easily Fooled's also in the top 20 for sure.
Really? Easily Fooled, man. Yeah. That's a B side, man. What a.
Well, it was
B-sides of the bread and butter of this band.
It was on their first Peel Sessions, a Sutcliffe Catering song. That song had been around a long time before it was a B-side.
I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me that. What about Muscle Rock? The Spiral Stairs songs. That's one of my favorites.
And I think on the same one is there's Chris Craft, which is also
Hold up for a minute. I want to go back to my thought experiment here, which was how big is their catalog? Like a ballpark.
I would say less
because than 129 songs got votes, guys. 129 different songs got votes. If their catalog, quick math here, if their catalog is 150 songs, then
almost all of them got a vote.
Then almost fucking all of them got a vote.
And you only asked for top 20, right?
That's right. You didn't 86%. Ask
for people. Yeah.
86% of their songs
it's just,
got a vote.
You know, that's you insane. You never know how it's going to hit you, you know? Like,
that's right.
You know, for me, it's really, you know, how I physically respond to it is if I have a physical response to it, it's going to stick with me. So.
Yeah. Well, I really want to thank you guys for taking some time out of your night to chat about Pavement and chat about our, you know, various other Pavement adjacent topics. Yeah. It's been really great doing this list. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Well, I've got a bunch of other podcasts that I've got going on, but I've got plans for 2025. Yeah. For sure, for this podcast feed, and beyond. So, you know, there's lots more to come. So stick around, and of course, wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks, as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra podcasts and such.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.